Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Dr. Jack Gantzler and Bill Lucian from the University of Maryland's School of Public Policy and authors of the IBM Center Report, 8 Actions to Improve Defense Acquisition. Is there an imbalance between today and today's world, an imbalance between outsourcing and insourcing within the government?
I think in some areas there is. Like the Congress passing laws about prohibiting public-private competitions, when the data show that with over 1,000 of them having taken place, that in fact the average savings is over 38%. And the interesting thing about it is that when the government wins almost 50% of them, they dramatically lower their cost. In order to be competitive, as contrasted to when they were doing it sole source, they can do it for fewer people and a better job. In order to, if the competition is based on performance and cost, mm-hmm. is what you should do. But that has been outlawed, and in spite of the fact that this was done by the Congressional Budget Office.
Bill, did you have anything to add?
Well, I think there are certain jobs that should be insourced. There was a period of time where a lot of acquisition functions, the acquisition workforce was so overwhelmed that they were contracting out some jobs that probably were legitimately inherently governmental. And so if you look at it from that narrow perspective, bringing those functions back into the government is probably a good thing. There's examples. IRS had competitions where they competed some functions, and the government won and reduced the cost by 75%, even though the government won. So the question is, why wouldn't the government be able to do that without competition? Well, there's no incentive. There's no incentive to cut your organization down. You don't get promoted by shrinking your organization.
In fact, the interesting thing that we found in looking at those cases where the government won by lowering its costs significantly, as Bill's example, what happened is those people found other jobs in the government or they went to work for the industry.
Interesting.
Only 5% of them were RIFed, were actually laid off.
Sure.
And that was surprising that when they were bidding, you know, up to 75%, this is an example, of reduced cost, and yet still they found other jobs for them.
Switching gears a little bit, I want to talk about the aspect of your report that counsels the DoD or defense industry about globalization, the benefits of globalization. And, you know, there are some skeptics that worry about the Trojan horse, the back door built into foreign supplied systems, particularly in the case of software. You point out in your report, gentlemen, that there's huge benefits to globalization that could be provided to DoD acquisition. What are those benefits, A? And B, how do you mitigate the negatives that some folks have?
Well, the one thing that people are worried about is some bad parts or Trojan horses hidden in them and things like that. You can test, but you also can look at reliable sources offshore from allies that you trust. And the main difference here is that in many areas, the foreign supplier is well ahead of the DoD mm-hmm. in its quality. The reality is that every single U.S. weapon system, this was a DoD report, mm-hmm. said every single U.S. weapon system has foreign parts in it. And the reason is because they're better, not because they're cheaper. Mm-hmm. And if we want to be state-of-the-art technological superiority, we have to take the best stuff that's available in different places that you can find that. And part of that is because they're actually investing more offshore. If you take the OECD countries' investment and compare those to the total U.S. commercial and private and public, and you can see that they are spending much more than we are in total. And so why not take advantage of that? Places, for example, I'll give you another story. Mm-hmm. The number one killer and maimer of American soldiers and Marines is roadside bombs. So when we said we're going to have to do something about that, we want to improve the armor on those vehicles that are carrying our soldiers, you look around the world, and who's got the most unfriendly neighbors? Israel. So we now get the Israeli armor but it's built in Vermont. And so we get the political as well as the security benefits of using a foreign product. Design is a foreign product. And it's the same thing when we're looking at that for these vehicles. It turns out that the best shock absorbers were coming from Germany, and the best tires for protection were coming from France. And I can give you lots of other examples of places where other countries are ahead of us in the technology. And so why not take advantage of that as long as they're trusted allies?
Well, I want to switch gears to combating the loss of acquisition knowledge. As you watch, as I understand it, the acquisition workforce in the federal government, not specific to DOD, will retire in the next couple of decades, if not sooner. You point out that by 2021, approximately 50% of the acquisition workforce will be eligible for retirement. How can we deal with this brain drain?
Right now, 55% of the defense acquisition workforce have less than 5 years of experience. That's not experienced workforce. It's not being valued enough. And I think we need to value it and acknowledge. And by the way, that's not just the shoppers, the buyers, if you will. That acquisition workforce includes people doing maintenance, includes across the board work, everything to do with program management, for example. And across the board, government acquisition workforce. When I was undersecretary, I was told I had 300,000 people working for me. All my close friends, of course. You know, I didn't get to know all of them, but the reality is now that's been dramatically cut as the budget was going up in, after 9/11, but the workforce was not going up with it. And it's been cut even more as a result of the combination of aging and not replacement and the undervaluing of it. I think what we need to recognize is the importance of the acquisition workforce. In order to get high quality at low cost, you need smart people doing this, trained, well experienced people.
And I think it's interesting when you just focus on that comment, they often have comment about shoppers. That's the first phase. I mean, we're not talking about the co-tar, the people that are managing the program itself. I mean, that's the most significant phase. I would argue that's one that nobody really talks about once you're awarded and they kind of go in that direction. But that's you need a lot of skill set for that. But Bill, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think one of the key things that the government needs to do is to sort of increase the number of people that are allowed to do rotational assignments and increase the cross flow between industry and the private sector. A lot of these problems we allude to are based on the fact that the government people don't understand how industry works, what incentivizes the businesses to operate. And conversely, the private sector companies don't understand the constraints the government faces. So if you can increase that cross flow and get experienced people from the private sector to operate in the government for a while and then maybe go back, I think that would benefit both the contractors and the government acquisition workforce. Now, we have some programs to do that, but they're generally fairly small and limited. And there are often a lot of restrictions that inhibit that kind of a cross flow. So we need to look at those and try to find ways to increase that and bring in more senior people from the private sector to help the government do their programs more effectively, and conversely allow the contractors to sort of better be able to sell to the government.
Even the military, there's not a program for rotation year with industry, mm-hmm. but it's as Bill says, it's just a dozen people. Mm-hmm. And I used to actually interview those to see what they learned and what they were doing. And we could greatly increase it without conflict of interest. The exchange between government people going into industry and industry people going into the government, just avoid that particular company when you're making source selections. Yeah. And it's easy to do. Yeah. I mean, I had to go through that.
Yeah. So, gentlemen,